Okay, hello, welcome to the Cosmic Eye Show. It's Emmett Fox Friday, and we are here again with another great show. I am your host, Jason Napolitano, and I have on the line Mr. Chris Sheridan. What's going on, Chris?
It's a windy night. It's a Friday. It's dark.
Thank you
for that. I'm working on a new novel. That's how it's...
Oh, that's heavy.
Yeah, not so sure about that beginning, but I'm working on my opener.
Yeah, it's not Call Me Ishmael. But it's something. You got
Ishmael.
Yeah, don't call me Ishmael anyway. All right, well, I got a chance to see Chris. I was thankful for that. Chris was actually out here. They were both out visiting, Chris and his partner, Lisa. And it was a wonderful pleasure to see you, my friend. Thank you for spending
time. Get out and, brave the COVID to... get out in the world, although we spent most of it in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
Talk about distancing, but it's great to get out of the city, out of town, and even more so to see good friends. So pleasure is mine as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sir. So speaking of that, fleeing to the desert, which you did, we're our topic today is flee to the mountains. So we're looking at find and use your inner power as we do each week. And we're looking at these little bits of wisdom provided to us by the great new thought leader and teacher, Emmett Fox. And this one, as I said, is called Flee to the Mountain. So I'm going to start. Chris is going to follow up and we'll do our usual thing and then talk about it. So let us jump right into Flee to the Mountains. This is Matthew 24, verse 15 through 18. So I'll start out. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes.
The moment you catch yourself thinking of a negative thought, you should reject it instantly. Immediately switch your attention to the presence of God. Do not stop to say goodbye to the error thought, but break the connection instantly and occupy your mind with good. And you'll be surprised how many difficulties will begin to melt away out of your life. Indeed, we may say that when error presents itself to consciousness, the first 5 seconds are golden.
In the text quoted above, Jesus teaches this lesson in his own graphic way. The immediate applications of these words was, of course, to the coming siege of Jerusalem. But the idea involved is eternal. The holy place is your consciousness, and the abomination of desolation is any negative thought, because a negative thought means belief in the absence of God at the point concerned. Those who are in Judea are those who believe that prayer does change things. And to flee to the mountains means to pray, especially that quick switching of the thought to the presence of God, which I have mentioned.
The dramatic detail with which this lesson is illustrated makes it impossible that we should ever forget it when once we have the spiritual key.
All right, so this one is an interesting one. I have to say, before the show, we discussed it. And both of us for a bit were at a loss as to how this passage actually connects to this idea of the consciousness and negative thoughts and so on. So we're going to break that down a little bit. So basically, the idea is that Matthew is keying into the idea of what Daniel the prophet was speaking about in the book of Daniel. It's a prophetic book. And it actually had a sort of... that this language in their abomination of desolation, because essentially at the time of Daniel, the Jerusalem was taken over and the temple was taken over. I believe it was destroyed at that time by the Babylonians, or it was right before that had happened. So he's referring to this idea, this abomination of desolation idea is basically an offering made in the temple, an offering made in the holy place that isn't kosher, basically. It's not a good offering. It's not a clean offering. So it's some sort of pagan offering or some kind of unclean offering that's being made in the temple by people that are not supposed to be in there, basically. They've taken the temple over. So the idea then is this abomination of desolation then is sort of like the idea of a negative thought. If you equate your mind in your consciousness to the holy temple, then that abomination of desolation is that negative thought. So you're making an offering in this holy place, which is within yourself, that doesn't belong there. Does that make sense? I mean, we talked about that. Is that how you understood it too?
Well, yeah. But the holy temple, I mean, just think of your anatomy. Where's the temple? You know, it's kind of right on either side of your head, your temples, and this holy place is really you and your soul and your larger self. The consciousness is the tools you use to run to the hills, you know, and to redirect your thought from this negative offering, this desolate abomination. So consciousness is also the active part of you.
Mm-hmm.
It switches to a better thought when an unclean or a, you know, negative thought crops up.
Yeah, good point. Well, I think, you know, that Emmett Fox, and actually Jesus speaking, was using this language to make it very rich and memorable for people to think about this. You know, he may have been referring to events that were going to occur in, you know, in Jerusalem. I mean, the Romans did actually destroy the temple after Jesus died in around 70 AD. But it also refers, you know, spiritually and metaphysically to this idea of making these abomination type offerings within ourselves, within that Holy of Holies. Oftentimes, you know, in the ancient wisdom, this idea of the Holy of Holies or the inner sanctum or all these sorts of mystical terms that are used, they mean us in our deepest self. You know, they mean our deeper, higher self that we're in contact with. And, you know, that's the part of ourselves that reacts to and creates the life that we live. It's connected to, you know, to the unconscious part of ourselves and the eternal part of ourselves. And that's what we're speaking to, you know, when we're having these conscious thoughts. So, you know, his point is then that you don't want to make these offerings to this holy place in yourself. You don't want to make this abomination of desolation there. And I love the way he says the first 5 seconds are golden. I think that's such a crucial thing to get out of this, because the longer you have that thought, the more apt it is to sink down into the unconscious and make an impression. You know, it's like a spill or something. You know, you want to get it up as quick as you can. You spill some wine on something and you want to try to get it up as quick as you can before it seeps into that fabric and makes a stain. And those thoughts are the same way, really. And that's why he's using this, you know, this heavy and mythical language, this abomination of desolation idea, that our thoughts are that powerful, you know. And if they sit in there and then we ruminate on them, we're going to give them power and they're going to sink down and we're going to create that reality in our day-to-day life, right?
Well, yeah. And then we become run by our thoughts instead of being able to think beyond and above, you know, these negative thoughts. You know, they own us instead of us owning our thoughts.
Yeah.
And there is a real power, but I guess that 5 seconds, what he's getting at, yes, is that's when you have this intervention. That's a great thing about a spill. It's a very graphic, and we know the longer you wait, count 5 more seconds, and it will spread out across the counter, it'll go off the edge, it'll go further on the floor. Or if you have mud on your shoes and, you know, first couple steps, if you catch it, oh, then you stop and take your shoes off or whatever. If you walk around the house for 10 minutes, you know, you can have a lot more cleaning to do.
Good point.
Yeah. And well, what really the, you know, this shifting your attention to the presence of God, this higher thought, this, you know, higher part of the temple, you know, fleeing to the mountain, this higher, you know, we say take the high road sometimes, and we know that's about consciousness and you're in more positive, more constructive attitude that's above this lower thing. And even this running to the mountains, if the flood comes, I mean, that's just physically what you want to do, mm-hmm. to get, you know, higher than the waterline. But otherwise, it will sweep you away, and it can really get stuck in there. So it's a reminder that we also have this power to do that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We have to act fast.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. And, you know, I think, so the way that he's speaking about doing that is putting your consciousness back on God, back on the infinite, back on infinite possibility, positivity, love, beauty, etc. You know, those, all those qualities of God. And then also, you know, another way, of course, we know through New Thought is through affirmation. So for example, you know, you're having some sort of negative thought or negative image that's coming in, you know, counteracting it with your own affirmations and making sure you do that with strength and conviction and faith so that it can, you know, it can sort of dismantle that negative thought, you know? So if, you know, let's say you're having thoughts about, oh, I'm getting sick, or, oh, you know, I feel weak right now, oh, I can't do this, something along those lines, you know, I am strong, I am healthy, I am capable, I am focused, you know, things like that. It's simple things like that that can really, you know, and you can even be repetitive about it. Say it 5, 6, 8 times to yourself, whatever, and really feel it, you know, let it sink down and make sure you're really counteracting that negative thought and then doing it quickly. Within that 5 seconds, I love that idea, that 5 second rule. I think that's amazing. I like the idea also, you mentioned about, you talked about going up to the mountains, and you know, that's, if you look and see in the Bible, all throughout the Bible, anytime anything of spiritual, importance is happening, it generally happens up on a mountaintop. I mean, Moses goes up and gets the Ten Commandments on a mountain. Jesus goes up and is, you know, goes through the temptation and so on. And, you know, has this this profound spiritual experience there. And, you know, there's you know, different figures, of course, through the Bible that were either out in the desert or up in the mountains that, you know, have these spiritual experiences. And so it's really this picture of going up into this higher place within yourself, you know, so you've got to place your mind in a different state of mind. And that's what Emmett Fox means, I believe, by going up to the mountain. He's talking about, okay, reframe this, put yourself in a higher place. Don't be stuck down sort of here in the workaday world, in the material existence, and, you know, looking at the effects of things. Put yourself up on the mountain where the causes are. You know, that's that higher spiritual truth that he's getting at. You know, so, and this could, you know, this can apply, of course, equally to recovery. You know, if you're struggling with addiction of any type, you know, those thoughts or those motivations or those cravings that are coming to you, you know, battle them back with those God thoughts, battle them back with your affirmations, you know, talk to your sponsors, you know, pray with others and do the work that you need to do your 12-step work or whatever you're doing, you know, to heal. But work on this inner work too. Go to that inner holy of holies inside yourself and pray and speak words of faith. Ask God, you know, as you see God, to help you through, you know, and that's the same sort of thing. So those feelings of cravings or those old habits that might be coming back, pushing you in a direction or whatever, it's the same thing. Root it out. You know, look at that 5 second rule and jump right in with something positive, right?
Right. And this, you know, mountaintop metaphor or symbol or allegory is really throughout so many different traditions throughout history. The monasteries in Tibet and other places, you know, built high up. And it was a very, even just look at it scientifically, like geologically, the mountain is higher than the valley. And so there's more sunlight during the day in the mountaintop because it's not falling in the shadows like the valley does. And you also can see further. I mean, physically, just actually and factually, you can see beyond the horizon or what the horizon would be if you were on the flatlands or in the valley. In the valley, you might not even see out of the canyon walls, but on the top of the mountain, you can see what's beyond. And I think that's really, you know, it's a very strong, very physical metaphor that even if you, you know, don't really have comfort with some of the God language, just actually and factually climbing to the mountain, you can see trouble further away. You can see maybe a solution that's not apparent when you're mired in the thickness of the lowness of it. So it's a really good reminder that there's more light and there's a better view, a higher view. You can see around more and you can see further, again, beyond this horizon. Because if we get walled in by, you know, these problems and they heap upon us, especially when we don't seem to have the personal power to be able to fix on our own. So this mountaintop, it's really a great thing. And you could even, you know, I'll just pass it off to you with leaving it with this, that in alchemy, you know, we talk about changing the lead to the gold, that this is a consciousness thing, our lead and dark thoughts to the golden thoughts. This would be the gold would be the mountaintop of the, of, in alchemy, to kind of mix these metaphors. And then the lead would be more of the valley or in this shadow of these abominations.
There you go, great point. So there you go. You go up to the mountain, flee to the mountain. You know, and actually that could even mean, you know, if you are feeling hemmed in and you're feeling, you know, overwhelmed by negativity or something, maybe go find a nice view. There's obviously, if you're in the Los Angeles area, there's plenty of beautiful views to go look at, or, you know, wherever you are, you can find some sort of place that's somewhat holy to you, that gives you a more perspective, a vista, maybe out onto the ocean or something like this. That might be a physical thing that you could do. And then, of course, go to this higher place within yourself, flee to the mountains, the top within yourself, and, you know, remove that abomination of desolation of negative thinking that you're putting into the Holy of Holies within yourself. So we hope everyone is doing well. We're praying for everybody. And we're speaking a word of peace and prosperity and health and light and freedom from addiction for everyone. And thank you for showing up each week with us and supporting us. Do you have anything else to add, Chris?
Well, I mean, we could go on. I mean, this is how, you know, interesting. And I would mention, you know, some of the things currently, this is summer of 2020, in case someone's listening to this in the future. That there are many social and biological, perhaps, issues that are very, very overwhelming in the world around us. And we can be bombarded with images and fears of conflicts or you know, a microbe or whatever seems to be, you know, pressing in on us. These are huge issues. They are, you know, historically long-standing problems, social problems, perhaps, and it's so overwhelming. And we get a lot of negative imagery and, you know, fear and, you know, anger-inducing, provocative images and videos. And but this fleeing to the mountain really works as well when you're dealing with these things that you really can't do anything with, and they really kind of aren't inside you. Although as a metaphysician, you know, we would say that if it's out in the world, it's also in you too. It's part of our collective. But in this case, running to the mountain would be to think of all the positive things that have happened in medicine or in social relations or civil rights over time and across. You know, that there's, for every negative thing that we see, there's probably 100 positive things that we don't see. You know, that there are happy endings, that there are improvements, there are great justices being done when these very narrow images can make us think of injustices. So it's getting the larger view, the bigger view, saying, yes, this may be a, you know, very difficult problem. But if you look at it historically or just spread out more over more people, we can say, well, this isn't really the case all the time.
Yeah, I think that mountain metaform is a good point. It, you know, take that, try to take in a wider view and try to make sure you're, you know, you're looking at the big picture of things, right? I think that helps us see things more accurately. Sometimes we can focus on simply the negative things that we see in the media and so on, and that can be very discouraging. Good point. Thank you, man. All right, well, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you again for joining us. We're here each Friday for Emmett Fox Friday. And of course, we have our Sunday show as well. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate your help with this stuff.
Thank you.
You can check us out at anchor.fm/cosmiceye or at chrissheridan.com or at cosmiceye.org. We appreciate your support. Have a great weekend. Goodbye and God bless.